Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Today's episode of Zero Block 30, we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, 18 Marines and one Navy corpsman were arrested at a battalion formation for all kinds of charges. Usually battalion formations are terrible because you're going for a unit run. This situation seemed much worse. Round number two, Stolen Valor right here at Barstool Sports. General Adam Smitty has been leading soldiers on the battlefield and Kate's calling him out. Also, learn about the couple who's made it their life's work to call out stuff like this. Speaking about Stolen Valor, folks, don't get triggered outside of a gas station. Round number three, the SEALs continue to have a rough time as the 2016 Sailor of the Year and member of SEAL Team 6 is arrested for allegedly using a spoofing app to solicit nudes from women. Round number four, mail to APO FPO boxes could take a little longer in the U.S. if the U.S. follows through on a withdrawing from a 144-year-old postal treaty. That's right, folks. The haters said we wouldn't talk about a postal treaty. We're going to, and we're going to take a dump down their throat while we do it. Round number five, it's a live day number 12 for me and 3 years at Barstool this week. I have some things that I want to talk to you about and reminiscing about those facts. All of that is going to be brought to you by our good pals at Starbucks. As you know, we have a nice little lovely partnership with Starbucks, and it's because they're doing great things all over the military world. Like last week, they announced that they hired 25,000 military veterans and their spouses, and it just doesn't have a job. It's not just a job that they get where they're working in a Starbucks or they're working behind the scenes at Starbucks. It's about the fact that they're giving 3 million cups of coffee to deployed service members across the entire world, primarily in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria. They have had 1,000+ units adopted. We want to highlight some family stories too, like the store manager in Oxnard, California, Nicole Young. She has married to a Marine Corps veteran, and she leads with passion in demonstrating what service looks like among her veteran partner and her military community. She just recently graduated from the Starbucks College Achievement Print, which if you don't know about it, it's great. Like, they actually give these people who are not give, the people who work there earn benefits to go to college and better themselves, not just in their Starbucks community, but as a whole and their families too. It's a great program. Nicole Young is doing that while she's also leading a family store. Incredible stuff. Everybody have a fantastic weekend.
Indeed.
Yeah, I went out to Long Island to the Pup Punk show on Saturday night. I know Bren was there too. Actually, Bren was wearing his Zero Blog 30 shirt, and at one point, I'm up talking to him, and we're having a beer. Like, we're having beers, we're, like, dancing along, whatever. And I walk away, and this guy is like, dude, savage, you just got rejected by a guy in your own podcast t-shirt. And I was like, no, that's our producer. I was talking to this guy, thought that Bren, and I was like hitting on Bren, and that Bren turned me down. And I was like, no, I work with that guy. That's why he's wearing the ZBT t-shirt. Damn.
But yeah, no. That guy was pretty far off. Kate was the only girl that I talked to on Saturday night. So.
Oh. Yeah, it was a good night, though. I did a little secret squirrel recon with my strapless bra that night. I wore a dress. And I just...
Yeah, I saw your Twitter thing about that, and I had to admit, when I saw that come across my Instagram timeline on the stories, I was like, this is a weird move by Kate.
It was...
So, explain what you did.
I was pretty drunk. Like, I'll be honest, I was pretty drunk.
Yeah.
And
we cut up a rug, and there was a lot of booze flowing on Saturday night, for sure.
Yeah, people, like, had blisters on their feet the next day from dancing at this thing. So, for people who don't know, Barstool has its own band that a couple of the guys are in that performed out in Long Island. So I wore this dress, and I'm like, I guess I got it. It's like I'm going to be there with coworkers, so I better wear a bra. So I put a strapless bra on, but I don't really need one. There, I said it. I get out there, and strapless bras are such a pain in the dick because you got to keep, like, there's no, you got to keep pulling it up, and it was showing out of the dress. And finally, I'm in the bathroom stall, and I'm pretty toasted at this point. I'm like, ah, you know what? I'm just going to take it off and throw it in the trash can. But all these women were in the bathroom, and I didn't want to walk out holding a bra in my hand and throw it in the trash can. In my drunk mind, this was a big deal, that women were going to be like, did you see that girl? Like, what did she do? Like, they wouldn't have given a shit. Yeah. Nobody was paying attention to me, but in my mind, I built it up. So I had already taken it off, though, and I'm holding it in my hand. I'm like, well, what do I do? Like, if the next girl comes in and sees that I left a bra behind the toilet, it's just a weird move.
Right.
And so I looked down at the toilet paper holder thing, and I was like, aha. So I just shoved it, this bra, way up into the toilet paper dispenser between the two extra rolls that were in the tub. And I was like, whoo-wee, that takes care of that. And then I just, like, walked out and enjoyed the rest of the night. But I also, the next morning, I woke up and I looked at my Instagram story, and there's like a 3-tap long, like, me outside walking to get cigarettes, talking about how I shove. We don't need bras and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh my God. So yeah, no, I had a great weekend. I also saw the play Beetlejuice yesterday, which it was a goddamn delight.
Yeah.
It was really funny. Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. So I had a little bit of not classy and then a little bit of Broadway action.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall when that Mulcahy's employee like goes to change the toilet paper and he finds your bra. Like, what the fuck?
And it's like definitely has like these like gel. It's like definitely a boosted up bitch. And so it's going to be like, what? Yeah. So anyway.
That's something. I was also out on Long Island.
I know.
Long Island, I'm just going to say, Long Island stinks.
Thank
you. It really does.
Thank
Long Island stinks. And people who try to tell me it's a great time, like, don't get me wrong, like the bars that I was at on Saturday, yeah, they're a nice time. It's fun, whatever. Wildly expensive. And that's coming from me. Like, I live in around New York City, so I know what prices are like. And it was still blowing me away what my tab looked like at the end of the night.
Oh, yeah.
And then just to get out there, I know there's different ways to go and, you know, you can go at different times and it's not as hectic. But I thought I was going at an off time. I wasn't. And it was just... people were just mean. My girlfriend got knocked over trying to get on the train. People are just bum rushing the train to get a seat for this two and a half hour train ride. People are mean. Long Island stinks. There, I said it.
Okay. Yeah.
And we have that issue sometimes with young Brent. Like, young Brent, sometimes he just fires off. He has a Long Islandness to him that whenever he's emailing people professionally, I'm like, dude, you have to have a little bit more tact. Right, Brent? Aren't we learning about that?
Yeah, I got to be nicer to people.
But a little part of you is like...
I blame Long Island.
You give him leeway because you're like, it's fucking Long Island, man. It's not everybody. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. It was a delightful... It's a delight. There's trees...
So that makes I think
calling Long Island a delight is really taking away from the delight that you gave out to Beetlejuice. All right, let's get into the actual topics of the day. Round number one, I think one of the worst parts of being in the military that most enlisted folks would agree, I don't think this really applies to officers as much. Battalion formations in general, I think everybody hates them. I think that it starts right at your... like right whenever you first get in, because one of the primary things that you do in boot camp is just stand around for hours and hours a day just waiting for things to happen. So anytime that there's a battalion formation called, you're already kind of upset about it. You don't want to get into it. You don't want to be there. Usually they're early as fuck in the morning for the Marine Corps. They'll start at 7:30 because that's the start of the business day. But because it starts at 7:30 and that's when the colonel's going to show up, you're going to be there way before, usually 6:30, to get accountability from your corporals and sergeants and what have you. So these Marines that are in 1-5 at Camp Pendleton are already upset whenever they show up to formation. They have the sergeant major walks out and he has 19, or at this time he had 16 of the red folders that they have awards or meritorious mass or whatever in, and they start calling out all these names. Well, they start calling out all these names because NCIS was standing by to arrest all of them. They were all E2s or E4s, and they are all being held at Marine Corps Camp Pendleton's brig. Their names haven't been released because the Marine Corps says that it's out of respect for the privacy, even though that they had been arrested at a very, very public battalion formation on the actual parade deck. Last week, a couple weeks ago, actually, two more Marines were arrested, and they were both Lance Corporals. They were arrested after the Border Patrol agents saw their vehicle pull off Interstate 8 at around 10 a.m. and pick up three unauthorized immigrants, according to U.S. District Court documents, and they are arraigned in federal court. So apparently, Law and Salazar, these two Marines, I would imagine they flipped on everybody. So I would say that they probably are trying to cut a deal so they will get less time, and they're like, who else is involved with this? And they just started dropping fucking dimes on all 16. It's all actually up to 19, 18 Marines and one corpsman. Kate, whenever you go to a battalion formation and you see all these people start to get their name called, what are you thinking that's going on? Because it doesn't even sound like it was a normal formation on like the first of the month.
Well, you see these red folders, and every now and then there's like a surprise meritorious promotion. So I would think like, oh, something cool's going on, whatever. Maybe somebody's getting promoted. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I saw, if I was one of the people who had been smuggling and I like saw, oh shit, it's not just me. Oh God, there's the other like 15 people I'm smuggling with. Oh, I'm fucked. Like, I wonder if any of them had the urge to just take off running. But I also want to know if the people who were standing in the formation who weren't part of this smuggling group,
if they knew.
Well, one, I want to know if anybody else knew what they were doing. And two, once that formation, like once it became clear, like once NCIS came swooping in and arrested them all, if you didn't know, were you still standing at, do you stand at attention or parade rest during a promotion? Like, are you standing there still and keeping
your
bearing?
Well, when the names are getting called and people come up, you're definitely in the position of attention.
Right, right, right.
And that's long time with the 19. That's a long time to be standing there.
Right. I'm talking about as soon as they were all up there and it became clear that this wasn't a promotion and that these guys were about to get arrested. Like, I wonder if everybody was still just like, oh, my God.
Like if the sergeant major had the wherewithal to walk in front and be like, all right, at ease. Like,
right.
We got a lot of arrests going down, at ease.
Yeah. Like, do you think, because it probably took a hot minute, are they like, oh, my God. Or did they just keep them there to like, hey, bitches, look at this.
I wonder, you know how whenever you have a promotion ceremony and you'll have like the Marines, they're going to get promoted or get recognized behind the actual big formation where they'll be like, Marines will be recognized, center, right, face, march. And then they have to go around and get in front, like center on the officer that's there. Whenever they do that, I wonder if whenever they arrest them, they just kept them in that second little detail.
And,
or if they just marched them straight to the van that brings them to the brig. If they're like, forward, march, right in the front. All right. And if there's a command, enter, brig car. And they just did it like on.
Oh, yeah. Like
I need to hear more from anybody who is in this unit. So if you're in this unit, you got to shoot us a note or give us a call. Do something, because I need to know more details about how this formation went down.
And the first, it wasn't in the news that I read about how it went down. It was on Facebook from this Marine named Evelyn, and her post, people had screenshotted it and sent it viral. But she is the one who, I think originally where this info came out of how it went down, because a Marine who was in 1-5 told her what happened, and then she. So she was saying that the Sergeant Major was savage as fuck standing up there just calling them out. And then doing it that way. But you were asking, Chaps, like, do you think, like, why did they do it this way instead of, because we were thinking it's so many that if they tried to get ones and twos as quick as they could that day,
Somebody would send a text like, hey, they found us out. Like,
yeah, we're
get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and this way too.
But I also think, in these Marines' defense, like, I think that they did have to do it that way. You guys are probably right. Like, if you're just going to the barracks, somebody's probably going to disappear. But I also think because these are E2s and E4s, you imagine that you're just getting a little side job, like you're picking people up.
And then you
throw in the word human trafficking, and you're like, whoa, shit, I had no idea I was human trafficking.
Exactly.
I thought I was just picking people up.
I thought I was just, you know, being like an Uber. I wonder, that's an interesting thought, though, Chaps. Do you think any of them, maybe the younger guys, didn't think they were doing anything wrong? Or do you know?
I bet they knew that they were doing something wrong, because like you're going to pick up undocumented immigrants, and they're like, you know that you're doing something wrong that you shouldn't be doing, especially with the current like political landscape. You know that that's probably not a great idea.
Right.
But I bet it's one of those things when they get, and they actually sat down and get questioned what they get charged with, and it's human trafficking. They're like, holy shit.
Yeah. I wonder what kind of punishment that carries with it. And I wonder what kind of barracks lawyering went on with all these guys and having someone said like, oh yeah, don't worry. Even if we get caught, it'll only be this, that, and the other. And just completely way off because they have no idea that they're trafficking human beings, as you said.
And I actually was a little bit disappointed when I found out that they got paid. Like I thought that you had some people who went rogue and they were doing like, this is the right thing to do. I'm going to take this stance and
I'm going to
do all these things. Like I thought that that's what it was going to be, like that, because you had so many units that were deployed to the border. I thought it was going to be Marines who went the other way and were like, I'm going to help these people get across. And it just turns out they're fucking dummies trying to pay for their Xboxes.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It makes me wonder like how – this cannot be the first case of this happening.
Definitely
but
not. No.
You were saying too, Japs, like down especially by Camp Pendleton, you're right by the border – and there's all these stops. There's every now and then they'll have these big it almost looks like a toll booth that goes across the highway where your car has to stop and they look. Mm-hmm. But if you have a military ID, you're fine as wine. They let you go like right through. Mm-hmm. They don't care. And so if you have people in your car, like it is perfect. I am sure these are not the first Marines to have been recruited to do this, and they're not the first Marines that have been doing this. Mm-hmm. But
they won't be the last.
No, for sure.
I mean, if young Marines can find out that they can get like $500 or $600 a pop just for bringing people back, I'm sure they'll be like, $500 or $600, pretty good money.
Yeah.
Weekend's coming up.
I mean, the chances of getting caught, though, I'm sure they did this quite a lot before they finally got caught. So maybe they think like, I'll just do it like one or two times and then I'll stop and then I'll be good.
Except for the E2s, because the E2s are probably brand new. There's probably that one dickhead that got roped in by his, like, his nasty-ass corporal who's just waiting his time to get out. And brand new E2, like, roger that, corporal. I'll go. Yeah, hell yeah, I'll do it.
I wonder, too. These
guys, just to fit in with the guys.
Reeling in this money or whatever. And, like, can you imagine being a sergeant or somebody who's not involved mm-hmm. and you see these 16 Marines, like, wearing designer clothes and shit out, going out into town on the weekend? You're like, what the fuck are these guys doing? Where are they getting this money?
Does this bother you, too? I'm sorry, does this bother you? Yeah, it does.
Like, doing something just absolutely wrong, like, that you shouldn't be doing, that you should be above the standard. But, Kate, I want to talk to you about the formation. You are back, and you are Corporal Mannion again. You're standing in formation. And all these people that are around your same rank are getting arrested. What's the one thing that goes through your mind? I'll tell you what would have went through mine when I was a corporal.
What?
How many of these people's names are on the barracks duty roster and how many people are going to have to change? Because you know for a fact that you're about to catch an extra barracks duty because these people fucked up.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole platoon gone, pretty much. That's insane. So I can only imagine, too, like, when this came down the desk of, like, the higher-ups there, just knowing what they go through. Like, on Monday, they probably dread coming in and seeing the police blotter. Like, who in our unit fucked up? This is like a, say again? What?
Something just occurred to me, though, too. This was not something that just kind of came about. People knew this was going to happen ahead of time. I wonder if anybody went to watch this formation. Like, if I knew this was going to happen and this wasn't my unit, I definitely would have went just to see how it was going to go down.
Like how in the Civil War people used to go
watch. That's probably why
they
had it. Yeah, that's probably why they had it at the parade deck.
Yeah.
Like, so people, I bet every E8 and E9 on the base was there. Every single O4 and above was there.
Yeah, exactly. I would have been.
Oh, absolutely. For sure.
Oh, yeah, that would have been fucking delicious. As a former company gunny, I'd have been licking my fucking chops to watch this.
Be like, yeah, because also, too, you're like, little worms. Not my unit, not my problem.
And hopefully, and I saw in the news today, I believe 3 more also got arrested. Yeah, 3 more troops as of 4 hours ago have been arrested in the human smuggling and drug probe. So 2 Marines and a sailor, bringing it to 19 arrests now. So 1st Battalion, 5th Marine Regiment. 19 service members have been officially charged now as of today.
What the hell is going on in our military?
My God. It's just crazy.
I don't know if it's like an uptick or if it's because we do these 5 rounds every week where we look for 5 individual stories mm-hmm. to talk about. But it seems like it's more and more and more. I wonder if it's been like this for a long time or if we're just paying more attention.
I think it's probably a little bit of both, but I also probably think it's just how you get your news and information sharing these days with all the technology that we have. So there was probably a lot of stuff that was happening 20 years ago that we just never heard about.
Yeah. Also, yeah. I'd just like to point out the first 2 to get caught that Chaps talked about in the beginning, Law and Salazar. Those 2, when they got caught, apparently when they spoke to federal agents, they both, one, waived their rights to an attorney, both spoke right away, and then both tried to blame each other for being the one to get involved. So they are probably absolutely the ones who turned in everybody else.
So they did everything possibly wrong.
Like, yes.
Anything that you can mention barracks lawyer-wise, they did it wrong as well. Let's move on to round number 2.
So Friday afternoon, round 2, I'm walking around the office, and I can't help but notice a gentleman walking around in Desert Storm camouflage pants, a green beret with a Barstool logo pinned onto the front of it, and one of those military vests with all the pockets that hold stuff, like different things. Mm. And it's none other than Smitty, who, right. by the way, square head, perfect for a beret.
Yep.
But he has taken on this persona. He does Barstool Game Time, and he goes live on Twitch all the time, and it's generally, and he says it's young boys that follow him religiously on Twitch. They're always following him on Fortnite.
Hashtag Smitty's Army.
Hashtag Smitty's Army. So he started this Smitty's Army thing, and now when he goes on Twitch, he wears a military garb. He has the green beret, the cami pants, the thing. And he's sitting at the bar well after work ended, well after Fortnite and Twitch duties are done on Friday. He's sitting at Barstool's bar in the office here, mm-hmm. still wearing it, green beret included, like still wearing this military outfit.
I think it's because he thinks he looks dynamite in it, too. He's like, I look fucking good in this.
So sunglasses.
So I was there when he showed up with this green beret, and he's like, how do I put this on? So I actually helped him and showed him what right looks like.
Oh, yeah.
But did you shave it?
No, so here's the thing. I said, if you really want to do this right, go get you a Bic razor. We got to shave it. We got to dump it in water. It's going to take a while to get this shape right. This is not something that just happens
Dude,
in 20 minutes.
We haven't talked about that. I am so glad the Marine Corps doesn't wear berets.
Believe me, it was the worst thing ever when we had to wear
and
berets.
And they have to be hot as fuck.
They
too,
are.
Because they're made out of wool, right?
Yes, they are. And they're just annoying to have to put on and off all the time. But when the Army finally went to back to patrol caps, I guess maybe a year or two ago, was the greatest thing ever because people hated wearing the berets. And credit to gentlemen and ladies in special units that the beret used to be a sign of that you were elite, you were something special. And then when General Shinseki decided, all right, everyone's going to wear berets, that kind of lost some of its pizzazz. So I understand that gripe.
Yeah. It just made me laugh. He wore it out in public to this, like, Fortnite. So, but anyway, he's back there at the bar wearing full, like, military. And he's like, this isn't Stolen Valor, is it? And I was like, dude, no, you look like a clown. Like, you look like you should be panhandling. Like, it's so obviously fake that nobody, if anybody were to get mad at you, they're a complete asshole. Like,
right.
If anybody gets butthurt about that, they are stupid, honestly. But that reminded me of a story I read last week about Don and Diane Shipley. So he's a former POW, and they have dedicated their lives. It's like their life's work now, calling out and finding stolen valor. And there's different types of phonies, the Shipleys say. There's the people who say they're SEALs or POWs for financial gain. They profit off GoFundMes, taking advantage of charities for veterans. And they claim that at least one in five GoFundMes for a Navy SEAL or POW are fake. So if you see it, so a big part of their day is spent getting GoFundMes taken down. And under the Stolen Valor Act, profiting off these false claims of military accolades is a federal crime. So Don and Diane
and
said,
I want to say those are the only types that we really give a fuck about. The ones that you profit or you
right.
like yeah. you swindle other people. If you're doing it to get a free cup of coffee, I don't care.
Yeah, so when I first saw the story about a couple who's dedicated their life to finding stolen valor, I was like, oh, God, these people. But reading about it, actually, they, like, go after charities and things where it really does hurt people because you're donating, you're giving money to somebody who's fake. And then the other thing was what they call, like, the dating phonies. So they say dating sites are hotbeds for fake Navy SEALs. And they say the worst one is Christian Mingle. So, because people are like, who would lie on Christian Mingle? So, Don actually made headlines in 2011 after he outed a Pennsylvania pastor who bought a SEAL trident at a military supply store and told his congregation he was a SEAL for 5 years.
Wow.
So, it's just really interesting. There's also SEALs who use it to keep a hold on abusive relationships. He said they found one case where a guy convinced her he was a sniper and that there were snipers watching them. Their phones were tapped. If you try to check on me, alert the White House, blah, blah, because I was in the SEALs for so long. He said the things that they come across with are just absolutely crazy. So this couple, Don and Diane, are really out there.
And they're veterans themselves.
He is also a Navy SEAL himself.
Right.
And this is, they're spending, they're retired now. They're like this cute little old couple. They're spending all their time doing it. And something that I thought
Oh, hell yeah.
this is like their coolest thing. But I won't go on about it for too much longer, but I just thought it was interesting. I didn't realize that there's like a database. So Don is one of the few Navy SEALs in the nation who's been entrusted with a SEAL database where anyone who has ever been a SEAL or even started SEAL training is in their system dating back to World War II when they were called amphibious scouts and raiders. He also works with the POW network who keeps their own database. So every single day, he's scrolling through, calling people out, and it's that important to him to stop these stolen valors.
And we're making these people sound like they're pretty normal, but let's be honest. Let's go into the weeds a little bit, because one of the more shocking aspects about this couple is their home. Don and Diane's home is covered in animal pelts and photos of Navy SEALs. There's a bear one of their SEAL friends shot in Alaska, and an anaconda skin another brought back from the jungle. The knobs of the white kitchen cabinets are shotgun shells or deer hooves. An alligator head sits atop of the microwave. The coasters on the coffee table in front of their camouflage recliners are shaped like 12-gauge bullets. And a moment that is rare for them as the rest of their day is consumed with answering dozens of verification requests. It just goes on and on and on while they're sitting in this, essentially, what really reminds me of the military version of Ray Finkel's parents' house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They're eccentric, to say the least, but I appreciate what they're doing. This whole story, though, feels like inside of a year, this could be a show on A&E produced by Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Oh, hey, well, so she's super tan with blonde hair.
They and remind like, me of Dog the Bounty Hunter and, like and Beth, R.I.P.
R.I.P. But yeah, he's like a huge dude with like kind of a little like Florida mullet kind of thing. And they let people stay at their house as part of a charity. They let veterans and stuff stay there. But I'm really, you're right. I would watch the shit out of this show.
Imagine not just, a bad idea. Like tracking people down, just busting in their home. You're not a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, I would love it. Stolen Valor.
Speaking of Stolen Valor, Kate actually had somebody reach out to her and her DMs to see if a story was true. So maybe we are actually kind of like the podcast version of Don and Diane because people are seeing if their dating interests are actually telling the truth. Kate, tell them about the little story that you heard about.
Yeah, and honest to God, I do get women in my DMs every now and then saying, hey, I'm dating this guy, I'm interested in this guy, but his story doesn't sound quite right. He's talking military stuff. Kate, you were in the Marines. Like, does this sound normal to you? And usually I'll cut the woman's name off, but I'll send it to you guys to double check and be like, hey, does this sound weird? I don't know. And if it is, I tell her, like, keep looking more into it because it's weird. But listen to this one. So he said he went to military school for high school. Then went to Loyola University and did like ROTC or something similar. He said on the day of his Loyola graduation,
as he threw his cap and
he gown. Deployed to Afghanistan as special forces and did four tours in Afghanistan during his 5 years in the Army. He said because he went to military school during high school and then ROTC in college, he didn't have to do any additional training before he deployed. He's lying and insane, right? Like, I've seen Cadet Kelly. There's no way military high school qualifies you for special forces and no training. And I didn't
shout out longtime stoolie Hillary Duff because Cadet Kelly is a phenomenal movie. Have you guys seen that?
Oh my God, have
I
seen it?
Brick by brick, Hillary Duff.
Brick by brick. She made drill fun. But yes, like, there's absolutely no way because you went to a military high school, you were all of a sudden special. I sent it to you guys to read, but like, oh, I told her right away. I was like, yeah,
what do you think
guy.
The fella who sent these messages or was talking to her about this at a bar, how many Jaeger bombs had this guy had at that point?
20.
Because I think once you get to 7 Jaeger bombs, you're no longer responsible for the military stories that you tell because they're not going to be accurate, no matter who you are.
I wonder if the guy was actually in the military and he just fibbed about all of these exploits or if he just had nothing to do with the military at all.
Right, because that happens a lot, too. You get stolen valor within the military. I remember a guy from our barracks who said he was all this. He had been, MARSOC and all this stuff. And then when I met MARSOC, I was like, no, we've never heard of that guy. Like, no, he's absolutely not. Like, so that's a thing,
There was a dude that I worked with at the kennels in Quantico, and his father-in-law was like a 3-star admiral, maybe a 2-star admiral. But he went to his wedding. Like, the guy went to his wedding, the corporal, was marrying the admiral's daughter and was wearing dress blues whenever he did it. And the admiral was like, some of these medals don't make sense. And the admiral was so pissed off about it, like stolen valor within the military. Like he looked at his ones when he was on base and then the ones that he wore to his actual wedding. Like he added a Navy comm with valor device. He added a combat action ribbon. He added all these things. And the funny part about uniforms like that, it makes no difference to civilians. They don't give a fuck.
They
don't know what
any of it is.
They don't know what any of it means. So you're doing it for no reason. The admiral father-in-law was so pissed that he contacted our company commander and our battalion commander and was like, this is my son-in-law. He stole valor at his own wedding. Like reported his son-in-law. Next thing you know, like 6 weeks later, they were divorced, already divorced. Like she filed an annulment and everything like that went through. It was a huge ordeal.
Holy shit.
Huge.
Wow, that's crazy.
Drama.
The guy got kicked out of the kennels. Like he got kicked out of our kennels. He got put on just bitch duty for the rest of the time he was in the Marine Corps, essentially.
Yeah, that's incredibly awkward. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Not to mention, that's a pain in the butt to change out your ribbons. So why would you even want to add
more? Right? Why would you want more?
And expensive. Yeah. It's expensive.
I always just did national defense no matter what I did. I said, I'm keeping it one and done.
Also, real quick, one last note about uniforms. I want to give a shout out to the new Sergeant Major of the Army. Our guy actually took his own uniforms in to get the rank sewn out and changed. He didn't get one of his staffers or one of his aides to do it. He actually took his own uniforms in. I respect that. Respect in the game. Just because you're a Sergeant Major of the Army, you're still doing your uniforms yourself. I respect that.
Definitely.
Shout out to him. Round three is going to be brought to you by our good friends at SeatGeek. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there's a simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to find tickets to every single type of live event. Whether you're catching your favorite musician on tour, shopping for the perfect gift, or searching for last-minute deals to see your favorite team, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Nothing beats being there in person for the biggest plays of the year, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I recently bought tickets to go see Tyler Childers, who's one of my favorite Liquor Cabinet music. Shout out Liquor Cabinet music on Spotify. You should probably check that out. It's great. It's relaxing. It's wonderful. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare for prices and to find amazing deals. To get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every single ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every single type of ticket, from sports to concerts to comedy and theater and so much more. Best of all, our listeners get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code CHAPS today. That's promo code CHAPS for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Let's move on to round number three, which brought to you by, not brought to you by, but it's from our friends at Task and Purpose. There was a member of the Navy's Elite SEAL Team 6 who was named Sailor of the Year in 2016. Woo-hoo! And he has been charged with pretending to be someone else over text messages so he could get nudes. He's trying to get nudes, Kate. And you just cheered him. Do you want to take your cheer back?
I rebuke my cheer. I thought, okay, hey, Sailor of the Year, Navy SEALs could use a little good cred.
And they could. It's been a rough couple weeks for Navy SEALs. Petty Officer First Class Aaron Howard faces a general-level court-martial. So, do you know the ditty? Does anybody remember the ditty for the levels of court-martial?
No.
From boot camp?
I don't.
Kate, you should. That's disappointing. Cons to you.
There was a ditty.
Do you know the levels of court-martial? There's three of them.
Not off the top of my head. I don't remember.
Special?
Summary, special, and general.
Ooh.
Are the three levels of court-martial. So general is the highest level of a court-martial for doing this. The case is thrusting the ordinarily secretive Navy special warfare community into an uncomfortable spotlight once again. Let's just break this down so we can kind of get what's going on with the Navy SEAL community. On Wednesday, a platoon from San Diego was sent home early from Iraq due to perceived deterioration of good order and discipline, which we talked about on Friday's show. It's a lot more than that. That is a nice way to cover up what is called a sexual assault. Earlier this week, the Navy Times reported that members of the Virginia-based SEAL Team 10 routinely used cocaine and were able to cheat drug tests before they were caught last year. And Howard case begins with a broader investigation into a spoofing practice of disguising a communication to look like it's appeared from a trusted source. So basically what they're saying this guy did was try to go on. He spoofed other accounts to try to trick women into sending them nudes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the charge sheet accused Howard of pretending to use multiple people to request pictures of naked women. But Waddington said the Navy investigators didn't find any pictures on Howard's phone, that Howard passed two polygraph tests, and the only thing linking him to the message is that whoever sent them said that he was once stationed in San Diego and liked to work out with kettlebells. Kate, from being at Camp Pendleton, how many people does that describe that have been in San Diego and like to use kettlebells?
Everyone. Literally everyone. Also,
yeah.
Hey, he's innocent. I didn't see any nudes on his phone. We've all deleted a couple nudaroonies, you know what I mean? We've all gone through and deleted things from our phones.
But I think NCIS would be able to find him if they went back into the phone. Because I don't think, the same thing with, child porn and shit. Just because you delete it from there, there's investigative techniques of ways to go back and find it, right? I mean, has to be.
I am regretting that full beach cheek spread I did the other week now. too much.
So his attorney said that the description could apply to any number of SEALs and that whoever wrote it could have also just made it up. Howard is originally from Texas, blah, blah, blah. He went on to do good things. But one of the defenses techniques that they're going to say, even if he is charged with this, is that that's not against the UCNJ, and that they're saying that they're making up charges, which they're made up the charge, quote, impersonating a person or, quote, requesting nude photographs under false pretenses. And guess what they're going to charge them under? The old catch-all, Article 134.
What is that? A perceived deterioration of good order and discipline?
Okay, it's almost like you didn't go to boot camp. Honest to God. I might have to get Diane and Don
Stolen
on there.
Stolen Valor. Stolen Valor.
I mean, every ditty that I remember screaming at boot camp, it's like Kate didn't experience it at all.
You have a weird memory, though. You remember stuff sometimes that you really surprised me that you remember them.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
So 134 is the general. If you get something that's not in the rest of the UCMJ, you can charge somebody under 134. It used to be conduct unbecoming is what 134 used to be. But now it's more like a general. So if there's something new that pops up, like social media shit, because the UCMJ doesn't get updated all that often. Mm-hmm. So you can't have, like, you post Nazi paraphernalia on Twitter. That's obviously not going to be in the UCMJ. So they would file those charges under 134, which is a catch-all for anything that they deem outside the character and responsibility of a military member.
Also, side note, I looked at a photo of this guy. Guilty, innocent, whatever. I would not send him my bee cheek spread.
No.
Oh, not hot.
Not my cup of tea. Looks like he's been through the ringer. So
interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
So actually, go ahead, Chaps.
It's just another thing that the SEALs are dealing with right now. I think this is going to be a hard one for them to prove. Like, if you don't have, if you don't have pictures, if you don't have any of that stuff, it's going to be difficult to prove.
So this weekend, I was actually with a gentleman who was a Navy SEAL. And I just asked him about all these different stories and what he thought about. And he just said he was really disappointed. And it's kind of a bummer that these stories keep coming out about
right.
them and just tarnishing their name. Because he said, and I would agree with him, that most of the guys in these units are really good guys. And they uphold the letter of the law. But it only takes, you know, one bad apple. Spoils a whole bunch. So just not looking good for them right now.
Yeah, not great. Get it together.
Please.
Sincerely, opposed.
But honestly, too, and if you're looking for random nudes, just go on Reddit, friends. Like, right. If you're trying to be a perv,
I was thinking that, too. Reddit. There is just a whole cornucopia of nudes out there. You get any hole you could ever want in any kind of way.
Yeah.
You like pickles there's, in a hole? Buddy, we got a whole
thing. There's literally
for
more
that.
Porn than you could possibly ever watch in your lifetime.
Right.
That's existing right now. There's no reason to do that. If you want to see, I mean, if you want to look at somebody's, down somebody's butthole all the way through their teeth, you can find that on the internet and not get in trouble for it.
It's right.
True.
For
it's just,
free.
It's just bizarre to me. Mm-hmm. Why are you putting yourself on the line when you can see a perfectly good b-hole anytime? It's like a pizza bagel.
Hazardously horny. That's the definition of being hazardously horny.
B-holes in the morning, b-holes in the evening, b-holes at supper time. When you have access to Wi-Fi, you could see b-holes at a time.
That's pretty good.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Not bad off the top of the dome.
B-holes.
The wrong style.
By
thank
Barstool
you.
Style.
Yeah. Right.
All right, let's move on. Because ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. They have 100 of the job's leading web boards, and they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one of these, spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site with just the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/zero. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zero. ZipRecruiter.com/ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, it is the smartest way to hire, no matter what your job is, from coffee shops to porn mags to anything that you want, even if you're doing a little lemonade stand. Oh, shout out to McCartney. Little ingenuity. She is going to have a juice stand in the fall.
Oh,
she wants to raise a little money. And, okay, so this is a little side note that we have, a little Podfathers in ZBT. So my kids are constantly asking for shit every time we go to, like, a grocery store, we go anywhere. And McCartney has recently started to ask how she can pick up money, how she can get money.
Yeah.
And we told her that she could pick up dog poop, and she was like, done. So she has these little kitchen gloves that she puts on, these disposable kitchen gloves, and she'll go out there. And I essentially taught her how to police call, where, like, I walked her in a line and, like, going around in a circle, and she'll stop whenever she sees it, puts it in, doesn't act like she's grossed out at all. And when she comes in, she could do it once a day, and she gets a dollar every time she does it.
Nice.
So,
and she is fucking pumped about doing it. She's like, Dad, can I go out there and do a little more poop picking up this afternoon? And I'm like, you sure can.
Oh, yeah.
It's win, 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 win for the entire family that she's doing this. But I was excited because it was basically like teaching her how to field day. Because whenever she would first walked out there, she would just walk in aimlessly
right.
throughout the yard, like looking for it. I was like, you got to have a method, kiddo. Like you have to go out there and you have to do this deliberately so you can get every single piece.
Oh,
and
yeah.
she loves it because now when she goes and plays with the dog and the sprinkler, there's no poop anywhere and she doesn't have to worry about stepping in little gust grenades.
Wow.
And she's getting paid for it. I like yep. it.
A little hard work yeah. and sweat never hurt anybody.
Yeah, go McCartney. Promotion yep. incoming.
Yeah.
yeah, give her yeah. a little meritorious mask.
Yeah.
Be nice. All right, let's move on to round number four. Round number four is a little bit of behind the scenes because if you are in Afghanistan or if you're in Iraq or you're Syria or wherever, it can take a long ass time to get your packages. And getting mail whenever you're deployed makes you feel special, no matter what it
is.
Even
with the best
feeling. Even when you're Kate and you just get another box of 100 pads. Like,
right.
like you just love it. Like anything fresh and new, you're like, I love it.
I'll
right?
take it. Oh, yeah.
You want to speak to that?
Yeah, getting adopted by church groups on my first deployment with the infantry. And they're like, oh, this poor girl's out there. And so they would just, I don't know if they thought I was just bleeding constantly. But all the guys would get like cool shit, like candy and gummies and magazines. And I would just get like a shit ton of pads and tampons. Like, I got so many, and they're expensive. I actually shipped them home when my deployment was over.
Really?
I'm like, I probably got a 2010 Tampax in right now.
I'm still using this.
Oh, my gosh.
Jesus.
Too much.
Here we are, 2019. I'm still using toothbrushes that were sent to me in 2009 in Iraq. I got sent so many toothbrushes.
Yep.
I just shipped them all home, and I've just been using them.
There you go.
There was a Marine that I worked with, and one of the church groups had established like a relationship with her, and they constantly sent fingernail polish, and it was like pink and red, and she would be so mad. She's like, I can't use this shit. Like, what are they sending it? It's not like I'm going to sit here and paint my nails just to immediately take it off.
Oh, right. Yeah. We got sent nail polish, too. I would do my toes sometimes, so I'm like, fuck it. A little razzle-dazzle in my day. Yeah. But you're right. I couldn't use it. But yeah,
I wish
tons.
I'd have seen you out there with fucking pink toenail polish. Not on my fucking watch.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee
you. Rolling
that.
Around. But
all right. So we bring up
Let me see them toes, man. Yeah.
We bring that up because the military and the U.S. government actually might withdraw from a treaty that keeps shipping costs low because all the different mail that goes through. Imagine the logistics that involves of getting it there. Like the postal office, you just think it's like this operation. I'm blown away whenever I order something on the internet and it ships from like – I've been back in on an eBay kind of kick lately. Mm-hmm. Something will ship from Canada, like Moose Jaw, Canada, and be at my house like 2 days later. I don't understand that process. Like the logistics behind it involved getting thousands of service members. It goes from Turkey to China to India to Pakistan into Afghanistan. And to make it to you all the way across the world with how far that is super impressive. So what's actually going on is service members stationed overseas probably don't think much about their mail to and from the United States. It's delivered through an immense system of Army, Air Force, and Navy post office. Notice that the Marine Corps don't have that because everything supports the grunts.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're in the Marine Corps, we actually don't have a post office. In 2018, the DOD's Military Personnel Service Agency oversaw delivery of 88,618 tons of packages and letters or received by overseas military and federal employees at about 1.2 million post office boxes, unit mail rooms, and buildings and other delivery points. That's roughly the equivalent to mailing 1,310 Abrams tanks. The average military mail customer has also likely given little thought to the international treaty called the University Postal Union, but they're about to hear a lot more about it in October because the Trump administration announced last year that the U.S. would withdraw from the 144-year-old treaty primarily over growing complaints by some U.S.-based businesses that packages sent to the states from other countries, primarily China's, have lower postal rates, which is true because do you guys remember, I think it was about a year and a half ago when I bought my purse from Pakistan?
Yes, of course. How could I forget?
Yes. Yes.
Do you know the shipping from my purse from Pakistan was only $3.20.
I remember you telling us that, and I distinctly remember falling over in my chair because I couldn't believe that number.
Right.
Yeah, because if I mail something across San Antonio the same size, it's going to be like $10.
Right.
All right, Kate, so explain what's actually going on with the post office treaty.
Right, so there's this thing called the Universal Postal Union, which coordinates postal policy around the globe, and it's 144 years old. It's one of the oldest intergovernmental agencies, and it's necessary because, like you said, when we're sending packages to deploy troops, when we're blah, 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 it has to go not just through United States post offices. It's going to post offices around the globe, worldwide, all sorts of different countries. but it's been kind of bugging us in the United States for years because we're saying that China and some other countries have been getting a sweet deal on shipping and it's undercutting American businesses. So we're trying to raise the price of shipping costs for small packaging for a lot of things from China to the U.S. And we want those decisions to be made under American law. And basically, in China, you can ship small parcels to the U.S. at low cost based on rates established by that UPU. And it's why consumers can afford to buy so much random junk online, like fidget spinners, fishing gear, foot cream, whatever Chaps is getting into that day. And it's actually cheaper to
ship purses.
Right. And like you said, it's actually cheaper to ship some products from places overseas than it is to ship between New York and Kansas sometimes. So basically, this gripe has been going back to president since Ronald Reagan. And it seems to be, as things with China heat up again, that China is getting an unfair advantage in global trade. So this is one of the things that's really speaking to that. So hopefully this is actually, if we break out of this treaty and everything, this 144-year-old treaty, maybe that will be actually a good thing for us because maybe our shipping prices will go down, or it's just going to suck and our prices from places like China for our fidget spinners and wacky things we buy online will also go up. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I don't think it is fair to give these other countries such a break in our businesses based in the United States get hammered over the head for shipping. So I don't mind this. Hopefully, I mean, shipping, post offices, that's something that you just kind of take for granted, I think, most of the time. You just assume everything's going to get where it needs to be, and you don't really think about the ins and outs of it. So it's kind of an interesting story. I had no idea we were involved in a 144-year-old treaty that basically made sure our mail got all around the world. So this is kind of interesting, and I hope that it doesn't affect packages being sent to our troops overseas, because that would really stink. As we mentioned, getting packages is probably one of the highlights of a deployment.
Right.
I will say that this is the worst treaty that we've ever even thought about going into. This treaty makes me not trust treaties. I always thought that treaties were about stuff that was really important. This is not important at all. I don't care about this slightly, like not even a little bit. In fact, I think that we should keep prices the same, but just make everybody else. We can deliver stuff to troops and forward deployed areas under the Amazon principle of two-day shipping, because then your mom or dad could bake you brownies and they could get there before they're stale and rotten as fuck. If we could have our troops have fresh-made brownies, fresh-made cobbler, fresh-made cookies, I think that increases morale, probably more so than anything else, because nobody wants another Otis Bunkmeyer. And I'll make another declaration. This podcast will never, ever be sponsored by Otis Bunkmeyer. Ever.
Never.
Over my dead body.
Right. I'll say once I ate a king cake with icing on it with what we thought was like the, oh, it's the sprinkles melting on the icing. It's that's green. But it was somebody's mom sent us a king cake with icing on it wrapped in a trash bag. And we ate it.
That's coming from me.
A couple weeks, I think.
That's coming from me, who's eating his own urine and his oatmeal. That's disgusting. Shout out to Tupperware, though. I once had a cake sent to me in Iraq for my birthday, and when it got there, it was still relatively fresh.
We won't take sponsorship by Otis Bunkmeyer. We will take it from Tupperware.
Yes. Thank you.
Tupperware, reach out. Let's move on to round five. All right, round number five. Special week for me, always the end of July. I think this is a big reason why I don't care about my birthday, because one, my Alive Day is July 31st, and for those that don't know, Alive Day celebrates the day that you probably should have died but didn't whenever you were injured in combat. I guess it can extend further than combat, like car crashes or anything traumatic that goes on. Mine is July 31st. It was the day that I was shot in Iraq in Fallujah. And because it's 12 years ago now and 3 years that I've been at Barstool, after I wanted to go through some things, because we have a lot of listeners who reach out to us via DM and talk about things that they're going through, or they're not sure the next step and they're hesitant about getting treatment through Headstrong or any other organization. So I kind of wanted to go through where I was at the time. It's probably not something that I've talked about much on the podcast, but whenever I got shot in July of 2007, I was at probably the lowest point in my life, definitely the lowest point. I was struggling, like my marriage was falling apart. I knew that my ex-wife had cheated on me. I knew that whenever I was going back to Okinawa, that my entire world was going to change. I had just recently won, like before I got shot, I had won a meritorious sergeant position. The battalion commander came down and said that they were going to take it away because most likely I would be out of the Marine Corps, and they didn't want to waste a meritorious promotion on somebody who would have been out of the Marine Corps. So I'm laying in that hospital bed, finding out about the affair, finding out about getting a divorce, wondering how custody with my kid is going to go down. They were already talking about to me about retiring from the military, and being a Marine is something that I had that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to do 20, 30 years, end up being the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. That was my goal. I knew that all those things were crashing down ahead of me. Like, I had my kid at home, and I was going to have to move duty stations. I didn't know if she was going to come with me. And I honestly thought there was a time while I was laying there that I thought I was going to lose my arm. I think I've talked about it before, but whenever the bullet went through and I was sitting underneath the stairwell after things had kind of died down and we were waiting for mortars to stop dropping on the house that we were in. When I was sitting underneath the stairs, I thought I was looking at my arm and it was bleeding pretty heavily. I had a tourniquet on and I was covered in blood, and I thought I'm going to lose my arm. And when I was wondering about when Kelsey, who was two at the time, what she was going to think of me, like going to high school, like she's starting today, essentially, if her dad didn't have an arm, like if I was going to be able to hold her the same, if I was going to be able to hug her the same. And it was things that it was gutting when I was sitting there. And the next 6 months to a year were just really, really rough, going through a divorce, establishing custody, trying to learn how to be a single father in the Marine Corps, how to be a good dad whilst having intense anger issues. And that's the thing about being a leader of Marines, is especially on the enlisted side, the anger issues that I was showing were very, very obvious. But in the Marine Corps, it's a culture where that kind of thing is really lauded. Like, it wasn't, it's like he's angry, so he's yelling at his Marines all the time. It's like, that's good fucking leadership. That's what they thought. When really, in my estimation now, it was kind of like a cry for help, where I really, really needed help. Fast forward a couple years, whenever I was getting out of the Marine Corps, I've been pretty open about what happened with me whenever I got arrested with the cop. And I was, again, down in the dumps. I knew that I was going to get separated from the Marine Corps, and it might not have been my choice. Luckily, I was still able to retire honorably and get like all the benefits and things like that. But I struggled. All the money that I had saved, everything that we had, we were down to eating just hot dogs and hamburgers and really wondering. Not even hamburgers, just hot dogs. We were trying to find different recipes to make hot dogs better every single day because we weren't sure if we're going to be able to pay our rent or our car payments or anything like that. Kept grinding, started going to treatment, started talking more and more to a psychologist named Dr. Willis, who was fantastic. She was a neuropsychologist, really understood the brain issues that I had with shorter-term memory, and that really changed the scope of my life. Like, she was like, you've got to move past some of these things. You can't start thinking about the past and what could have been. You've got to approach each day as if it's a new day. So I started going back to school, and it was still rough. Still, I mean, there is still days now where I still struggle with anger and shit like that. But my message to those that are listening is that even in your darkest times, you've got to push forward, reach out and speak to someone, talk to somebody, get help. And yes, talking to your buddies is great. Talking to your friends, your pals that you serve with is great, and it's wonderful, and it's something that we advocate. But talk to somebody professionally. I always wonder, like, what would have happened with my life if, right when I got back, if one of my platoon sergeants, one of my leaders, recognized some of the anger issues that I was going with, and they took me down and didn't. There wasn't the stigma on the wizard. If I wasn't worried about getting kicked out, what would have happened? And that's why I'm so vocal about getting mental health now, because I think it really could have helped me avoid a lot of the really, really shit that I went through.
Well, I think you have been, it sucks that you went through all that, but I think you've definitely come out stronger on the other side. And I think it's important now because you can tell other people to do the same thing. And I think it really does have a good effect. So I'm always pushing it. But getheadstrong.org, if you know somebody who just needs to talk to somebody, check it out. And there's a lot of other great organizations out there too, but yeah, just don't be afraid. I think all three of us can say that. Don't be afraid to talk to somebody and get the ball rolling on moving forward, because if you're doing the same things over and over, nothing's ever going to change. So you've definitely had a ton of change and pretty incredible where your life is at now.
Yeah, and I feel great. I feel better than ever. It's also a celebration of 3 years that I've been at Barstool, which has really changed my life, obviously, not just from like a financial spot, but from like a satisfaction spot of what I do every day with this podcast, with the radio show, with the blogs and everything like that. I'm very, very fortunate to be here. And it all started just because I was trolling online benefits big time. Dave hired me because he thought that I worked at NFL.com just because that was in my bio and my picture was one of their pictures. And we sat down one day, a couple weeks after that it all happened. And Dave was like, you know, for somebody that used to work for NFL.com, you write about football never. And I was like, well, that's mainly because I never actually worked for NFL.com.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I started you off at a higher pay because I thought that you had experience. I was like, well, I do have experience now, and I will not be accepting a pay reduction.
Yeah. It worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it does pay to just tweet at random strangers that you don't know, because then you might find yourself co-hosting a podcast.
Right.
Years.
Our big advice, seek treatment and
bother people
and troll
online.
People online.
Eat a lot of calzones.
Yep, no doubt about it.
Well, any happy alive day. No,
thank
just happy alive day. And happy 3 years at Barstool.
At Pub Punk, there was a Zero Block 30 listener there. We had matching t-shirts. I took a picture. So shout out to my new friend that we met at Pub Punk wearing our merch. You can buy some at the Barstool store.
Indeed you can. It's a good look.
Cons, any save rounds?
Not today, sir.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. I work for a living, but thank you very much.
Yeah.
Retreat.